Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of the show. It's Darcy. And if everyone can please remain standing for the national anthem.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the DAS. What was it called again?
The DAS cast.
The DAS cast.
Brought to you by the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan.
What he said. All right. What I want. That forward. Hello, everyone. Welcome. I already did this. Now, what are we going to talk about today? Tell me, Sam.
Well, we've got some questions.
You do?
We've got some Darcy updates. Obviously, we can update on Darcy.
Great.
And
all right.
Some important McCann news.
All right, then. Important McCann news. Could I have a list, please?
Thank you. Sorry.
So you got to tell the people, you go to jdfmccann.com to find the tour dates.
All right. Everyone go to jdfmccann.com. McCann.com
/gigs/gigs.
All of these?
All of them, please.
It's like 5 months worth of...
All right, he pays me.
How do I start? This isn't like, oh, he'll be three, like from the 29th to the...
Starting on the 29th of April, he'll be at the Hyenas Comedy Nightclub in Albuquerque, New Mexico, United States. And on April the 29th, he'll also be there, again, in the same place. And on the 30th, he'll be in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Stand Up Live at 7. May 1st, the American Comedy Company at San Diego, California, at 7. May 1st, same again. That's from May all the way to May 2nd. May 1st.
It's just too much.
Linearly, he'll be in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Phoenix, Arizona, San Diego, California, and then he'll be in Hollywood, California, and then Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Schaumburg.
Where's that?
Illinois. Schaumburg, Illinois. Royal Oak, MI, Massachusetts. No, Michigan. And then he'll be in Toronto, Canada, Brooklyn, United States, New York, and then in Boston, Massachusetts, then Homestead, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, Orlando, Florida, Naples, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Denver, Colorado, Greenwood Village, Colorado, and then back to San Francisco. And that's from April to June. Well, maybe we get started with the questions. I've been informed that James himself has procured a list of questions cultivated by him, as I've already said, by you, to me. Questions I don't know where the limits are, and I'm more than happy to answer, give an honest answer to any of these questions. Now, I have no forewarning about what these questions will be, about where they'll go, and I will still try to give an honest answer for all of them. I hope I feel like I'm going to get taken advantage of, but I'm fine with that. Anyhow, may you please give them to me.
The first question is from Pint Snob.
Pint Snob, is that one word?
Pint snob.
Pint snob.
All or right, pint sorry. Knob.
Pint snob or pint snob?
It's just one word.
The knob pint or the snob?
Pint snob. Pint snob. I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt and say pints or, and say pint snob.
Hopefully. I don't want to... clearing the dirty mind. What's his question?
The question is, how do we looks Max to be like him? And I think him is you.
Well, I'd be honored if that was me. Looks maxing is something I don't identify with looks maxing, but I know what he's trying to get. He's trying to get at about body care, self-care, about the face. And I do skincare regularly, daily, and I take care of my body and consequently my hair. Obviously, dieting is something I haven't really gotten into, but on the daily, it's moisturizer and cleanser, and then every now and again, rice, and it's not really
Sorry,
looking... Rice masks. Not like, you know, I don't really... I buy the little funny tube, and then I put it on event, like sometimes, and I feel like spoiling
rice,
myself.
I've never actually heard of a rice mask.
I don't know. It's like, well, the Koreans do, and they look like, you know, Play-Doh, and I look... But it's something I just dip in every now and again, and... It feels weird saying, I feel like James Charles over here. Like, oh, don't bathe myself with skin acids and oil. And I just put on a moisturizer and a cleanser. That's what I do. Sometimes it comes out really good, and sometimes you need to be wary about the water where it comes from so it doesn't badly react to what you bought and how oily or scrubbed your skin is, depending if it's before or after a shower or after exercising. And exercising I do is every day. Every day I try and bike. If I don't bike, I run. If I don't run, I walk.
But you ran here, you were saying.
I ran here. Nothing to boast about. It's damn near took me out. Sun's out on this wonderful day. Whatever the day is, April the 20th?
April the 27th.
Today. April the 27th.
We like to keep the podcast illinear.
Illinear, so... It's a wonderful March morning today. Please, quiet at the back of the class. But looks maxing, that's what I do. I don't do like the dumbbell.
Yeah, so this is like
clavicular.
I've heard plenty of maxing, like, you know, as a postfix, a suffix, yeah. A fix to whatever. But I didn't really know about looks maxing. So, because I always thought that everyone's just trying to look their best.
Which is, you know, what you'd hope, and it's just like in a, it's what you'd hope for someone and their personal goals and struggles with themselves. And maxing, putting that onto anything like, was looks maxing, there's a lot of other joke ones like the virtue maxing, which is.
I'd like to think we're doing that here now.
Virtue maxing. Oh, yeah, that's very mainline.
Yeah, what do you believe looks maxing to be if you were to actually put a...
Looks maxing is just, like, without interrupting you, I believe it's just, it's people coming around and sort of going full circle to establish something for people to identify with when it comes to self, meditating and, looking after themselves for... obviously a goal. It's all coming from themselves. It's not for others. Some people can easily get lost in trying to look their best, be their best, and sort of get confused about who they have to do it for. But looks maxing, I believe, or the concept of it, without the name, is just about being true to oneself in terms of appropriating the right rituals and just making sure that they are well looked after and manicured. Is that what it is?
I guess so. I mean, that's a much more charitable read of it than I'd heard other people saying. And that's
actually I don't know much about it.
That sounds like a nice thing.
It does sound nice the way I'm probably putting it. But
I just hear people just saying maxing on everything. I just don't know where the maxing has come from.
Maxing is, I guess, well, it's very...
literal in the sense of maxing out, going as far as you can with it. And that is clavicular, right? Is that how you say clavicular? The popular one with the, you know...
The chiseled jaw guy. I've only seen him on thumbnails of things, I've got to say. I don't actually...
He's all about... I guess he's the one that's really into making it, maxing, because he's pushing what is... What would be a sensible limit. He's going beyond it, and he's documenting it, and people are getting... You know, he's getting traction on it, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but he's doing it at expense of... little humanities, I'd say, because he's going into, you know, I only know that he's beating on the the jaw. Some people will do hammers, I think,
in order some to what do, to like, minorly break bone in order for it to reform stronger. Is that the
I
thing?
Guess
that's it's what like, I'd been told.
It's like those boxes, you know, they get punched in the ears and the nose, and it sort of becomes
and their
bulbous.
Ears just get stronger.
Yeah, they look worse, but I guess if it's with the chin or other targeted areas where they want to look more in how they perceive themselves or what societal expectation, or not expectation, but idealism of what they should be, what they want to be molded as, that's what they think the targeted areas are, is that they want to have stronger necks or stronger jaws. They have really sharp, defined jowls to make them look, leaner, or as they would, you know, more attractive or notable in their pursuit of looks maxing. It's just being, having a self, like reclaiming, is reclaiming a self-respect and a self honor to yourself. So it would be basic exercise. So you don't have to go all out, but sort of exercise for maintenance, for stability. And it would be the same with skincare, where it's just on the daily or every now and again, no matter what, buying expensive or cheap brands, just having something there to supplement what others would use, just to make sure that you can polish yourself or make yourself look... Well, not trying to take it as far as other people, but just to get to a level where you can be happy, be content with who you are and how you want to write your story and where you want it to end and how you want to end up. What's the next question?
It just made me think, sorry, with the fitness element, as I wondered if our dear leader, James... needs to do some looks maxing or some fitness maxing, because he's desperate to get on Survivor, and
really?
I just picture him doing the physical challenges in Survivor, and I just wonder how. Well, obviously he's an incredibly fit person and very strong and all these things, but I just wonder how he could become more fit and more strong.
Well, it's always up to him. Being pressured into something or having an agenda you want to force on someone, where it's sort of ill-consensual, is perhaps not the base principle of what looks maxing is. If he wants to pursue it, then by all means, people should be there to assist him, not carry him, not do it for themselves to help him, but to help him for himself. All right, so what is the next question?
This one's from Ben Johnson Music.
Hello, Ben Johnson Music.
Is Darcy living a secret double life?
Did you handpick these?
No, these were sent to me by James. This is big screenshots of the...
Holy crap.
There's a whole bunch of these. Is Darcy living a secret double life?
Well, it depends on what you define it as a... Would he mean life or would he mean a mask? Because everyone has social masks. Everyone, like even with friend groups, everyone has their own sort of friend groups, environments, and they want to hang around, but they put on a different mask. They sort of choose what is seen and what's concealed about themselves. So when they go from group A to group B, sometimes they would just happen to move around and think and interact differently, say different things for different humours, to be more bespoke to that group, not necessarily being true to oneself, but just to come off as a reflected character or a caricature of themselves to that group. If that is what he means about life, of double life, I mean, he could just be saying, you know, is he James Bond? No.
Both possibilities are likely.
Everyone has different social masks. If that's what he's referring to, then, yeah, I do have different ways of interacting with different people. I do sometimes apply a mask to when I go to different groups, interact. I do that, as is a lot of people. We go from different, like even with family, like it's as basic as, you know, school and home life. You're not going to be as blasé, as casual, as potentially offensive with your schoolmates when you're joking as you would be with your family, because it's sort of, it's either repealing what you are or what you're trying to be for another instance to either boost a showiness or to try and reflect a different value, to try and be more valuable to one, because you want to, it's either about fitting in or it's about being truthful or to tone down or to elevate yourself just to be someone who you'd think would be either admired or revered. Revered? Is it right? It's definitely self-development, but there can be either stagnation if they choose to box themselves in for the sake of either being, as they would view themselves, easy or not difficult to handle, or just trying to, like I said, it's just going to start circling around to what I said before, to tie in that they, you know, that they're trying to paint themselves a different shade, but eventually it could either wore off or they'll just start becoming that different shade, if that's who really they want to be. But they might risk having imposter syndrome? Yeah. But that's more towards work, where they don't feel like they belong because of they feel like they've either ascended too high and feel like there should be a handheld, but that's a completely different thing. Anyhow, third question.
This is from the William Schaefer.
William Schaefer.
The William Schaefer. What's it like working with James Donald Forbes McCann of the Catamaran Plan?
In the environment that he sort of cultivates and is supported by his friends, it's very pleasant. It's fun. It is fun because everyone here has a mind, an artistic mind. They are freely allowed to put input in. They are allowed to share ideas, and criticism isn't taken to heart. It's a very nice environment here. I'm not saying this because I'm boxed in and they're blocking the only exit out. I'm saying this from heart. This is like a very nice place to be in. It is a nice environment. Wouldn't you agree? Or
I agree,
you would
yeah.
say something else?
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, if that question was directed Thank at you. Me, I would probably... I think oh, yeah, You've put it very well. You've put
to
it very well.
The William Schaefer, it's very nice. Yeah. Like, this isn't like there's a mob boss at the top and we have to obey him. Even though that tends to be the outcome, it's still a very open environment. Sure, there's different roles to play, or, you know, I'm not qualified, I'm not would it be technologically minded towards some of these things? Like, I know that this is obviously producing light, but I couldn't set this up, I don't know. You are very valuable when it comes to that. And I sit in a chair and talk, but you and everyone else that contributes gives something, and they are also given not only a respect but a freedom to do what they do and what they are very intelligible about in this playhouse that James runs. That would be it.
Someone said this, and I don't know if it's like an easy question to answer or
is it a bad question or just a very touchy one?
No, it's just like, it's just not formulated very well. But like, I wonder if you could.
If there's something that you can feel like they're trying to grasp at, then.
Yeah, I have a feeling that there's something underneath this.
Let's hear it.
This question is from Avery Dower Comedy.
Thank you, Avery Dower Comedy.
And the question is, why? Darcy, why?
Why what? This was posted on a Patreon.
I believe so.
So this is just going to be, you know, from him saying, here's some questions. I don't know if there was like a prompt, like an
example.
No,
it was just, and I think it was just an open thing, like questions for Darcy. Who wants to ask?
Why Darcy, why? That's a...
Why? Question mark. Darcy, why? Question mark.
Why question mark Darcy? Is there no question mark after Darcy?
Why question mark Darcy? Why question mark?
I guess it's just wondering why I'm here, why I'm brought aboard. Which, fair enough.
That's you. That's filled in those blanks.
I don't know what else they're trying to get at.
Why?
Why?
But what I think that I personally, when I read that, I thought to myself, I want to know what Darcy's why is.
Actually, that's a different...
What is Darcy's why?
Why?
Mm.
I don't know. Why me? Or why do I allow myself to be here? Well, I've got nothing to lose, everything to gain, and I'm helping out. I guess that's going to be it, because I don't know how else to play with this.
I think that's fair. That's.
I don't know how else to play with the question.
No, that's a fair response. Absolutely.
Why is this?
You're markedly a fair person. See, there's ones that I don't want to ask. I don't want to say the words out loud. And also don't want you to
answer.
I'll
read them. Don't worry. I'll happily read them. I hope it's got swear words in it. Tits or ass, Sir Darcy. This is from... I'll read your name out so you're not forgotten. Suave 824. Tits or ass, Sir Darcy. Ass. Next one, or thank you. You'll get the tip later. Next question. Question four.
I think we should. After this question, I'll try and get James in.
All right. You see if you can
getting a connection. Is he a time traveler from the 1930s? This is something that you've been accused of quite regularly through this community.
Oh, there's good comments. Good comments. That's I love them.
That's from T.TEE.W_20.
T, so two T's. That could be a T.
TEE.DOUBLEU_20.
I don't want to name drop, but it sounds like a Tegan if it's two E's. But regardless, TW.
Yep.
Am I a time traveler?
From the 1930s.
Spiritually, probably. Like, there's something definitely wrong with my head. I'll be honest. Like, I have this down on record because everyone's got a parent out there that, you know, really hoards all the kiddie stuff from like kindergarten, you know, send them off to school, he gets a little report card and they write their little notes. One of mine from when I was 5 years old was that I spoke with an English accent. Very weird, but that's what's written down. And then at year nine, I had an accent change. Oh, no, it was year 10, I had an accent change. Because like the SSO comes in and he goes, oh, how you doing? Oh, love to see you. And then I speak two words and he's like, did you have an accent change? And this is like a completely candid guy. And I don't know how he got to be an SSO. He had a very big life. He was busy, but he picked it up. Hopefully not picking up the cricket noise, but it's all right. I don't know, there are weird things about me. I won't say my hobbies, my beliefs are, but there is something that is definitely not fitting with the era we live in, this modernity, this current way of living that I disagree with. Not, you know, rebelling against, naturally, not like some rebelling from a teenage angst, but it is sort of a disagreement that I have. That somehow I find does align with certain aspects of old ways of living, old views that are can be seen as archaic or more so not anchored in either reality or scientific belief, whatever. But there is a weird, like I can definitely say that something's a bit off, which, geez, open blasty, I'm telling you that something's wrong with me. But I can physically know, I just look old. But yeah, I probably got something old about me. Not helping with clothes, but what's the...
So I'm just going to try and get James now. Just changing a little battery. But it looks like
Come on, Jimmy.
Looks like we got Jimmy on the line.
And he is currently in Texas.
Yes.
Austin, Texas. And I got a friend who lives in Austin, Texas. Brian. Brian Strawn. Oh, he's going to hate me for that one.
Strawny.
Yeah, I can dox him, but I'm not going to. I'm sure he's... Oh, he's going to hate me. But you know, I'm helping him out. I'm giving him a shout out. And I don't even know if he has internet or he lives.
Okay. Very good.
Anyhow.
Let's see if I can get James on the line here. I'll have to hold my phone up sort of to the camera. I'm sorry. But just see with James.
I don't mind.
Just have a chat here with Jimmy.
Oh, now you're calling him Jimmy. Is he allowed to be called Jimmy?
Yep.
Does he belt you if you do?
All right. We got James on the line here.
He didn't answer. Oh, he's blinking. Okay, he's alive. Hello.
Jimmy.
Can you say something?
You got us, Jimmy?
He's blinking like he's being hypnotized. I feel like he's about to reach through the screen and grab me.
Can you see us, James?
Hello?
Jimmy.
He's just moving his nose. He's not doing anything. He's just looking at you.
Can you see Darcy, James?
He's not senile.
He's coming closer. Can you see us? Jimmy, he can't hear us. He must not be able to hear us. He's making faces at us.
He is looking. Feels like he's giving a passing look rather than looking at that sort of silent judgment. He's just breathing. He's like clearing his mouth of phlegm. What is it?
Maybe we'll try. We'll try him again. Sorry, Darcy.
I mean, for all I know, he could just be... maybe his screen's like... I don't know.
We'll try him again.
Is there anything covering the camera?
No, I don't think so.
Because we can see him.
I'll message him, just say, did you see us? Okay.
I mean, he could be doing a bit for all we know. There's going to be the great period of silence, those who are listening, just by audio track.
Yes. Phone Jack Doyle says, why did Andrew Schultz shave his moustache?
Who's Andrew Schultz? Okay, I assume that's someone relatively well known in the modern day, not a historical figure, because...
Hang on, I'll Google Andrew
Andrew Schultz, so S-C-H... You know what I should have done? I should have rung the bell. That would have gotten his
not
attention.
Andrew Schultz. Hold on. Schultz.
Schultz. Like Sergeant Schultz.
What a good last name. Andrew Schultz. Andrew Schultz. He does have a very prominent moustache.
But apparently he shaved it.
That's him. So he's shaved his moustache.
He does look kind of familiar now, but...
Let's get some images. So why did he shave his moustache? Oh, yeah.
I tell you what it looks like. It looks like, there's your email. He's got that kind of,
I don't know, a good game program?
Good game? Oh, sort of, on the ABC?
Guy. Yeah, ABC. Yeah, that guy. Reminds me of him. But he's got sort of that more of a narrow nose. I don't know. That's what I was going to say some other comedian actor, but that it's literally Angel Schultz is what I was thinking of. I didn't know his name. Why he shaved it, I don't know. I never met him. I don't know nothing about him. I don't even know. Is he, what, 46? He could be my dad's age.
He looked like a young guy.
Mostly.
This is from Fraser underscore RS.
Fraser underscore RS. Yeah. That's an old fella.
Did he enjoy Rourke's Drift?
I've never seen it, to be honest, but I know what the film is. Oh, no, he's referring to the battle because the movie's called Zulu with Michael Caine and he's referring to the battle. I was not there. I would have loved it, to be honest, because it's just like dying around a bunch of your high school friends. But boy, that would have been fun, except if he died. And it probably wouldn't have been, but I can't really say I enjoyed the battle. I wasn't there. That's a good question. Thank you, Fraser.
So when you walked in here, Das,
yes.
You were sort of saying about the post that we have up here. I wonder if you could just take me through what you were kind of saying you wanted to do on the post.
Leading me into it.
What were you wanting me to?
I
said you wished that it was more solid.
Mind if I get out of the chair?
Yeah, please.
Thank you, sir. My idea was that if this was, you know, load-bearing, okay, maybe not load-bearing, but if it was strong enough for me, my idea was that I could have dead-hang from here, you know, legs up, and then it would have been zoomed in on the camera right into the chair, and I would have just dropped right down into it. That's the entire bit.
Okay.
It would have been here, I would have gone, bam, and that's it, that's the intro. But I didn't get to do that because you didn't let me.
There were safety concerns. Obviously, safety we concern. Don't have the proper insurances and things.
I would have been fine, man. I'm 20 years old. I'm not going to die. Why'd you... You know something I don't you? Right, sit down again. Unless you want me to...
No, I'm happy for you to sit not down. I just dance. Wanted to see that.
All right. Is there any more questions?
There certainly is, Das.
Yay. All right, get me in. Hold on.
Yeah, you get where you're going. So beautiful.
These poor people that have to face me dead on. I mean, it's my best angle.
There's lots of good angles going on. James said, sorry, couldn't hear us, I think.
He's still, no. Probably saw us. I really should have rung the bell. That would have gotten his attention.
Joel.Stacy asks,
that's a familiar name.
Do you pine for Rhodesia?
Pine for Rhodesia.
Given the national anthem you asked me to play.
Was that the Rhodesian national anthem? Well, I wouldn't know. I wasn't there. You've got to play one of the other colonial places. Those I know. I don't know anything about Rhodesia. I mean, I did wear a hat coming in. Yeah, shoot. Got me there. But I don't pine for it. Come on. I'm not even used to my backyard, let alone go to Rhodesia, Africa. Oh, you know what they do over there?
I don't know what they do over there.
Fuck,
I'm worried to find out.
I don't know what they do over there, but I don't want to find it either. They're probably, you know, it's a lawless place with poachers. They kill elephants. Elephants done nothing and they get killed. Imagine me there. I die.
Do you think you'd be a victim of Rhodesia?
Is that what you think?
I don't know. No, I expect you going there as sort of a hero figure.
What have I done?
A rebuilder.
Everyone there's going to be like 7 feet tall when I walk in. Like Chef Skinner from Ratatouille. Those little midget come in. What am I going to do?
I don't know, Das. You got a sort of power about you.
Do I?
Yeah.
Is that why people look at me?
Yeah.
Thank you for being candid. I hope you're candid.
I'm candid.
I'm not paying you. Even for that. But the thought, like, people look at you weird. Obviously, no wonder I'm dressed like this. I dress worse, round shorts and all, you know. But sort of, it doesn't rub. It doesn't get you. But it's sort of, you pick up of it and you just start to wonder, why look at me? Not that I can, you know, move on, please. Clear the table. You next question.
A clearing question.
Mm.
Wheelie with three E's.
Wheelie with three E's.
G1. Wheelie G1.
Wheelie G1.
If you could have dinner with three people and they have to be alive,
Who
would they be and why, Darcy? Why?
The three people that are alive. Everyone I sort of like is dead. Well, my parents are alive, but... Well, I still like them. If I could have people a dinner. Dinner, not breakfast, no brunch, no... Not playing bloody backgammon, just dinner. Three people. Vladimir Feltsman, because his father is a famous Soviet composer, and there's no fucking no information. How do you have your father be one of the greatest Soviet composers of all time, and you don't even mention him in your autobiography? Well, I haven't read. But him, because I want to know, what was it like having some guy who sings with... I'm going to go off, like, this is really revealing about the music I like, but... He writes songs for Evgeny Kapkalo, Sergei Lemshev, Muslim Mogomayev, a couple of others, like Mark Burns, and you don't know, you're just nodding. Good. But yeah, that's one. Vladimir Feltsman, who's still alive, is like 80. Next one, I don't know, Paul Keating? What? No, he would just get angry at dinner, which is what I meant to do. Three's a crowd at that. Who else? There's no one else I'm like really like to talk to because they're all dead. Besides you, he's a wonderful. I don't know. Really, no one. Like, there's people I'd like to, you know, argue with, people I'd like to berate, get some questions and answers out of them. But people I really want to have an honest chat with and discuss things, that's really it. I mean, even with Vladimir Fletzman, who you don't know, because you know nothing. It's literally just also just, I want something, I want to know something. There's no one that I know, I'm aware of, that I can ask just to have a nice conversation with them. Anthony Hopkins about classical music. Because he did The Waltz Goes On. And that's it. Maybe we'll throw in a wild card.
Nelson Mandela.
He's dead. We'll put Kanye West in there. Wild card.
All right, we'll hit this. This brings us on to the question from Biboon.nibby.
Biboon.nibby.
Biboon.nibby. Which I like.
Biboon.nibby
asks, and I'm just gonna
thank
I'm
you
just gonna
question.
Take a little bit of free creativeness
about
I
it.
I wanna do a little bit of creativeness on this question. So Biboon.nibby says, what kind of music does he listen to? What kinds of philosophy does he like?
Well, music I listen to, which is something I've not even been able to communicate to James himself, but I listen to a lot of jump blues. I listen to classical. I listen to. It's a weird. It really is. Like, besides from a little bit of electronic every now and again, it's the wild card of my music, which is Soviet orchestrated pieces, Soviet sponsored music, because it is just poetry. It's poetry with an orchestra, a piece of instrumental music. Obviously, there's going to be their pop music and their rock equivalent. But a lot of their old, more baritone singer and vocal-centric pieces I really do like. But then there's a lot of other things like, you know, jazz, easy listening, a few bit of, you know, standard pop every now and again. Nothing modern. Nothing from the last 20 years. It's all, I don't jive with it.
There's one thing I was actually wondering is what's your stance on Justin Bieber?
Well, I was, 12 and the whole... you know, going bowling and hearing "baby, baby, oh," you know that.
I do know it.
I didn't listen to it anyway.
From the modern Justin Bieber.
He's still alive. I thought he did the underwear model, and that's it. He just cracked it. mean, he's did the drugs and then does he rap? Is he like Eminem? Has he fallen off?
I don't think there's rap. I don't think there's rapping.
I don't know what he does.
It's still swooning R&B.
Rhythm blues has really gone down a hill. Like it was, rhythm of blues was just Elvis Presley doing blues, and then that's just, or you know, Big Joel Turner, and that's just gone right downhill to anyone just you know doing hip hop with the funny hat and baggy pants. Which what are people with baggy pants do in winter? What do they do? Because you go shopping and it's like down, you could see hair, you could see ass. What do you do in winter? Do you keep the rainwater in there till spring? Why? I don't get it.
So you like width in pants, but just not baggy pants? Is that?
I don't like that they like it can be sweatpants, it can be you know skinny jeans, and they just wear it low. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense to me. I like pants that fit. I don't like the you know you wear them proper around the waist. You just don't let them sag. What's wrong with the belt?
I think a big problem in that community is silk boxes.
Silk box.
Having silk boxes, silk briefs.
Is that what they're doing? Is that?
Yeah, and I think that's why you get the slippage.
But I swear it's a deliberate choice because back to school, it's like they'd have sweatpants and they have a you know adjustable waist and you can tie it like pajamas. And there's even people wearing pajamas or shorts and they let it slip.
And the second part of the question was?
Oh, yeah, the philosophy. Philosophy. Well, James has got me in a couple of philosophy books, right? You got me Crime and Punishment, and obviously you got me the politic book, the Cold War Politician book, and then he got me the poetry book, philosophy. I don't know how you answer that. What philosophy do you like? Well, what is the philosophy you like? I like philosophy, but I can't really name something that I don't know any of the names that I can really shoot off the cuff to people to sort of explain what it is. It'd really have to be like a pamphlet, like a political compass, like just the question, not the actual compass. Just answer questions and someone figure it out for me because I guess as I guess I say, I'm not really literate on the ideas or the words or the concepts, but there is a belief within me and I just can't really get it out. I guess that's it.
Because that is a philosophy.
I guess so. I mean, the way of believing, there's beliefs, core beliefs, what I want, what I think meaning in life is, and I don't want to turn this into a lecture, but another time, maybe someone can stop me on the street and ask.
How's this feeling for you so far, Das?
Feeling? Like
how are you feeling
being here?
Being the host of the James Donald Forbes McCann
Catamaran
Plan.
Oh, it's fine. You can slip into it naturally, of course. It's just having material to work with. Obviously, I have to, because if it is sort of like a family, if this is whole crew and set up a small family, this is taking the place of the parent. There's no, yeah, come along. There's no following of a schedule. Obviously, you can be handed things to talk about, which, you know, I like to do because it's not my podcast. This is just a branch, an offspring of it. I don't want to dominate and I don't want to be fed. I just want to be able to do something, but having to fit into this is like sitting here talking is natural, but it's very, it's unstructured. There's nothing for me to really do. There's nothing to read. I'm being fed questions. There's no topic that I know and I can speak from. It's just collaborating or having a conspiracy between the small crew here. That's all there is to this. So I'm still finding where I can be in this. But it's not unpleasant, still very good.
Do you think that's something that James like goes through in terms of being the host of the show? Like there's something different that happens when you sat in that chair?
Maybe. I mean, maybe it's probably why he has the bells. Like every time he I swear it's big, like when he ends a segment or ends a rant, he rings the bell to refocus himself. I could be reading too much into it, but I think that's what he does to sort of end that and then step into something new. Back to the questions, please.
So Todd Willis,
1996. Old. Yes.
2 steps or 1 step when walking upstairs?
2 steps. Too athletic for it. Well, too athletic for one. Plus, it depends on the size of the step. If it's one of those like big grandiose, then you can be a bit showy and do one, but that's because you're not in a rush or just because you want to conserve energy or to, I don't know, snoop around, just be slow for whatever reason. But most of the time, if you're trying to get somewhere, 2 steps.
Random Frank P.
Random Frank P. Thank you for the question. And thank you everyone for the question.
Dearest Dapper Darcy.
Yes.
If you could Freaky Friday trade lives with someone, who would it be?
Dead or alive? Oh, probably not someone who's dead. Trade lives. I saw the movie, I think. You know, the one with the Tony Curtis's wife. No, kid. Jamie Lee Curtis, right. Yeah, that's Freaky Friday, the movie?
I'm not sure.
I
thought you were going to say Jamie Lynn Spears.
I know Jamie Lynn Singer.
Britney's sister.
Who cares about Britney's sister? Unless, you know, it's someone popular. I hope it's not like Taylor Swift popular and I just start getting beaten in the street for this, but... What was it again?
If you could Freaky Friday trade lives with someone, who would it be?
If I could Freaky Friday trade lives with someone, I don't think, excluding, you know, why would I, and content where I am, I guess, I don't know, someone, do I really want to chase wealth? Do I want to pick someone who's wealthy, someone who's more popular, someone who has a greater platform? I'm not really hungry for those type of things. Sure, you know, having wealth or having those things is nice, of course, but there's nothing I really want to trade lives with. I mean, being envious of, like, I don't know. What can I say to sound youthful? The boyfriend of Billie Eilish. Sure. I don't know. That's just...
Because I was wondering what type of experience you were wanting to attain through this life swap.
And like, there's nothing...
And I think it's quite clear.
I mean, yeah, of course, who doesn't want to have like, oh yeah, I want to be a billion-dollar year earning... I want to be like Jeff Bezos. Yeah. Who doesn't want to be billionaire and then just have 5 wives, they all take $1 billion each and still be the richest man in the world or whatever the hell he is. That's nice. But... then I'd be bold. I don't want to be bold, and I don't want to be old, and I don't want to be American. And did I say satanic, evil baby killer? Not to bring down the level of this conversation with those topics, but...
So J4939067, can Darcy scratch more lotto tickets?
Well, we didn't prepare, so maybe next time. Maybe when James is here, so I can give him the $5. Was it $5 he won? $4. It was like $1 scratchy, and I won $2 so he could get more. I remember.
I believe that to be around here somewhere.
All right, someone can say in the comments. Please comment down below so I don't look at it. But thank you. It's very nice for you to comment.
We have Robbie for Mayor. Mayor.
Robbie for Mayor.
That's a four.
Four.
I'm running for mayor of my lil town. Any advice not falling for IPAC money?
IPAC, so that's...
AIPAC?
IPAC, so that's a what? Independent, no. I swear it's a public lobby group. I think he's just trying to say, how do you run for mayor and stand on your 2 own legs? And you want to be grassroots. You get the community behind you. Obviously, building yourself up takes time. And I don't want to say, oh, Rome wasn't built in a day. Come on, give it more. But it's going to be slow. It's like building a muscle. It's like defining your body. You have to work at it. You have to really constantly work at it. And of course, you have to be, some people are naturally blessed with, you know, having, being able to attract people to their personality, especially, it really does help in a political sense if you're running for mayor. But it's, depending on what kind of country town it is, because I assume it's a country town. I think it's a suburban town.
A little town.
Little town.
L-I-L, so, little.
Little town, little so town. Probably a small town. You got to live, breathe, most importantly, break bread with the people of that town. You don't want to feel like you're sort of outgrowing your shoes, but you have to feel like you're sort of, that they can tell, they can pick up on what you want to do, and that they can easily get behind you. They don't want to feel like it's sort of a give and a take, I assume. I've never been in this scenario, but if you don't want to be bank run, if you don't want to be held by a leash, which can also be your noose when it comes to being funded or having a having to stick with advertisements or policies or having a handler for those sorts of things. If you just want to be yourself, you have to work on yourself. And you have to spread, you have to work from the inside out. Slowly get into people's lives. You have to slowly assert that you're not going to be a dominating force. You're going to be more of a helping hand, I guess, when it comes to trying to run for mayor. It's weird, very weird question to ask me, but...
But I think you've given really good advice.
Maybe I have. I mean, who knows? He could be a mayor, and I'd like to go to wherever this is, unless it's in Victoria.
It's Robbie for mayor.
Robbie for mayor.
Bella Curry won.
Bella Curry won.
Single? Question mark.
Well, I got to give.
See, Bella Curry won.
I mean, physical attraction should be more of a cherry on top rather than a, like, I saw. But when it comes to, you know, relationships, just before I answer, when it comes to asking out or having a crush, physical good attraction is a necessary condition, but it's not sufficient. It should be more of a cherry on top, rather. You're looking there for character and for personality. You want to be there so that you can find a love, you can find camaraderie and affection in them, whether they're 20 or 80, which is always about character. Because can I give a quote? To quote, I guess paraphrase, no, it's quote. Quote Alfred Hitchcock, the director, all breasts sag eventually. That wasn't as funny, but that's it. So am I single? Yeah. There you go. That's as much fluff as I can put into answering such a single, simple question, because it's yes or no. It's got to be something I can really, sorry. It's got to be something I can really, you know, pull out the meat of. A yes or a no. There's a simple questions. And plus, they're the easiest to lie in. Easiest to lie in a yes or no. Especially, like, I hang around a lot of store people, you know, shoe sellers or whatever they sell. Yes or no's are the easiest to either pressure someone in.
I'm sorry, we do actually have James McCann on the phone.
Oh, he's wearing a hat.
Hang on.
Hey. Hey.
Get it, take the phone.
Oh, okay. Hey, thank you.
Can you hear? Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the pod. Oh. Hey. Oh.
Fucking crows.
Do you go for the crows?
Yeah.
I don't. Oh, my.
Yeah, we've all been drinking, so you've got to...
Hell yeah. Yes. That's a funny looking up big one.
I love you, boy.
Love you, Jimmy. So the last question was, am I single? I said no. Yes. Yes, I'm single.
Well, they're the easiest ones to lie on, right?
Yeah. Like, you think I've got like five wives at home?
Don't
Darcy, would you travel to America? That's asked by Andy Bricks 211.
I'd love to go to America. And like, I have, like, it's not because I have friends in America or there's like, you know, peaches, fruits that I can harvest in America, you know, business dealings or whatnot. I just love to go there because I'd be like one of those Japanese tourists. I go to like, to, you know, one of those big malls or those McDonald's or the, you know, those funny American places. Like, I really would be like the Japanese tourist, like, oh, look, look, it's Statue of Liberty or, you know, a really American site, like someone like pissing on the American subway or something. Like, things like that. That's what I'd really like to see. Oh, sorry. That, things were like, I'd really like just to go there and be as touristic as I can. Not like, I've been to America and I saw Hawaii, which is different. But you really have a lovely blast there. I would love to go to like a Five Guys or Outback Steakhouse, you know, where they have the fried onion or whatever they do. Oh, it's going to be wonderful because then you could play into being an Australian. And that's what you're like, that'd be cool. Because you get to play a character. No one knows who you are. You get to go rampant with it. And plus you get to, you can be on your own, you can be your own person. And you can also be like a little gag, you know, walk into a bar and there's, oh, he's an Australian. Everyone comes around. I don't know if it's like that. And I watched a lot of movies, but it'd be a blast to go there. I'd love to go to America. For a week, not long. Like if it's a full year, you know, where they have the tornadoes and the hailstorms and the things starting with S that we're not allowed to.
Don't say the S word, please.
Yeah.
Chris_Demoose_
Chris, thank you, Chris.
Asks, what Brill Cream does he use?
I do have Brill Cream at home, but I never use it. I do like the dry look, not because it's I'm trying to be mod or modern. It's, I mean, I do feel comfortable with having dry, modern hair, but I'm getting into more of a shorter on all sides. So Brill Cream doesn't really like it because I don't have the hair for it. Because when it goes flat completely, it makes me look like I have a swollen skull. It's like I'm balding if it's completely flat, and I don't like that. I don't like really flat hair. I like it to stick upwards, like a flat top. I like a flat top, but it's high maintenance, and I can't afford that. But I don't use Brill Cream. I had it once, and I never used it. That's it. I really am looking always at Sam, never looking at that camera.
Well, that's the problem that James has. So is a real magnetism to looking down this camera because I'm manning this camera, I guess.
Because you're talking to someone. You're talking to a person, which is how you conversate. And that's why it was so hard. Last time I was here, talking behind, it was much more comfortable and easy talking to Sam. And then it was to the back of someone, not because, oh, it's about disrespect, but it's just hard to really conversate as it would be like online in a microphone when you're not looking at a face at all, when you're facing behind him. There's nothing really you can identify, you know, facial expressions or whatnot. It's just hard to get a read. It seems like talking to a brick wall, not that there's no feedback, but it's just hard to pick up the feedback.
Well, I was thinking of putting a TV screen that had the live feed of that camera behind James's back for you to look at when you're sitting there. How would you feel about that? Because what has to be said is that the split screen on the final output looked great.
It did look great.
And it looked like you guys were really talking to each other. And like, I almost like the energy there. Mm.
I mean, the split screen, I know the having a monitor, very avant-garde. Very avant-garde. Not mainline at all. Because who else is coughing out the money for that?
Well, Darcy, like in the spirit of mainline and avant-garde, the spirit that's running through this pod, where do you think today's pod has landed in that dichotomy?
Today's pod, I mean, from what I know, most podcasts are not solo. It's very hard to keep a modern podcast. That's more like there are people that do that. There are people that do that, but it's more like, it reminds me of that Korean thing, mukbang, where it's
the eating thing.
Where they eat it and, you know, from
I guess from a common mind, you'd think, oh, this seems weird. You're filming yourself eat, and not for the purpose of talking, but just to eat so others can eat while you're watching that, to feel like you're connected, that there's not just a continuity, but I guess a conspiracy. They're both eating at the same time, having a blast. But a solo podcast is something that it feels weird because the only thing you really focus on is just talking. That's it. There's no eating, which obviously would, you know, put your mind into a lull and it would obstruct your mouth. And you got one goal. But you're jumping back and forth with a podcast and having it just be me here talking with a couple of crew, Sam and Hamish, and it can feel avant-garde because I'm here alone, mostly, just talking to a camera, which I'd say if this was an original thing, well, podcasting with one person is, I guess, avant-garde because it's just filming yourself. I'm not very, very well soaked into media shtick or influencing or social media at all. So this weird mutation of public speaking is not natural. Well, it's natural, but it feels unnatural because it's just me. It's like talking to yourself, but you're being recorded. And talking to yourself can feel natural. It's not, it can feel inexcusable because it's, it's a psychological, what would it be? It's an excuse for something else. And it's like having a monologue with your inner monologue to get words out. It's verbalized. It isn't just thinking in silence. And when it is just talking with yourself and talking with not just yourself, but also trying to bounce off between crew and the camera, that I'd say is avant-garde. Because it's talking to a mirror in both a mirror of someone else and of yourself while you're in the central... I'm trying to get this into an imagery, but it's like being sandwiched between your reflection and someone else's. It can... When you wake up to it, it can be weird, but it also can have a flow to it. So I think that's how this would be. I'm trying to really put all this rubble together to give an argument. It's, on the social media, sort of this big open sharing market that it is. There's a target audience, the intended audience, and those who come around. And obviously there's, stragglers every now and then that blow in. And the whole battle for this avant-garde or being avant-garde or having a different way, a style, not a fashion, a style to it, can bring, and it has brung's a word, right? Mm-hmm. It has brought an audience, and some people will come along because it can be a popular, some people come along because there's a crowd, but some people come because they see what the crowd is talking about and they want to get in on it, not because there's many others looking at it. They're looking for the object of discussion. I'm trying to, once again, when I feel like I'm trailing off. I don't know if this is really clear, but if I can get it out on the table for everyone to try and understand what I'm getting at, then calling back to the reference of, I understand why there's something that's unique and something that's mainline. That's why there's something, it's not branching, it's just giving an alternative not as a replacement feeling, but as how do you like it? Is it for feedback, or is it just because you believe artistically that this should be stepping outside of the boundaries of normality? There's an originality in soul to having your own form. And of course, you know, being copied means that it's not only being flat. Like, if this was being copied, being avant-garde, going out and having these guerrilla filmmaking interviews, that's very flattering. And also it means that someone is seeing what you are doing and is either seeing it as either they're going somewhere, I should copy it, or I believe and I like what they're doing, I want to do my own flavor of it. And I guess when people do avant-garde and it sort of becomes mainline, it I guess would only do by two reasons. It's either because they settle for becoming mainline, or because avant-garde has become mainline. So they've either settled down and either stopped pursuing becoming different, or that different has become mainline. I think that's it. Now, we've been handed all of these spray, happy spray cannon. Funny working title. And we're going to go shoot them off. This is going to be the blessing of the newly appointed, was it Darcy Cast?
The Darcast.
Darcast.
A product of Catamaran Industries.
A happy product of Catamaran Industries, the Darcast. Now, we are going to give this blessing to it, and, well, not much else to say. Thank you, everyone. I am grateful, honestly, for this opportunity and for having you here today watching the Darcast, which is a proud product of James Donald Forbes McCann's Catamaran Industries. I love you all. Please have a lovely day, a lovely week. Have a happy life. I want you. I need you. And you deserve to be wanted, loved, and cared for. Thank you so much. 3, 2, 1. I got a dud. He's a dud. Hold on. Everybody get down. Oh, you fucking. Oh, yes. Thank you, everyone.